Today is August 15th, 2023. It is 10:04 a.m. We do have a quorum present. We're going to call this meeting to order. If you can please all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Moving on to item number three today is public comments. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that said, is there any public comment today? Not seeing any public comment, we are going to move on to item number four, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the agenda for August 15th, 2023. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about the agenda?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment regarding the agenda and the items on the agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number five is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
No questions or comments, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number six, this discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And as we always do, we're going to kick off with the Sheriff's Office.
Commissioners, good morning. Sheriff Cullen for the record. I just wanted to say thank you to the community, the commissioners, and all the departments here in the county for our fantastic Sheriff's Night Out and National Night Out up in Lockwood. The events were both very successful, and I'm looking forward to next year. It was a really good chance to get out and talk to folks and meet with everybody, and I just want to give a big public shout out and thank you to everyone for coming and participating.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thanks.
All right. It was a great event indeed. So. Moving on to the Fire Protection District, Chief Longcar.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just two little updates here. One, our engine that's sitting down in Topaz, it looks like they want to keep them down there. So we're going to do a crew swap and keep them for another 2 weeks down there. Again, they're protecting the National Forest, and they love having them down there, and they've been getting some little fires here and there, so they've been productive. The second one is on Sunday night at 21:20 hours approximately. We did have a structure fire here in town. The building is still standing. There's some room and content damage, but there was one victim that our fire staff had rescued from there, and they were care flighted out. Fire cause is still under investigations, and other than that, I'll take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, you got any questions for the Chief?
Thank you, Chief.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
No, thank you for the update.
All right, appreciate it.
Thank you.
On to Public Works, Director Jason Wierzbicki.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Jason Wierzbicki for the record. I just have a couple quick updates. Met with Dow Engineering a few weeks ago to show them the drainage issue we've been having on Martin, Prospector, and Sutro Springs. They come back with a proposal of $160,000 in which you guys approved at the last commission meeting for a flood study to focus on that area and partial design. I just want to give you an update on where we're at and moving forward on this. Once the partial design is complete, is when they'll determine the sizing of the culverts, how many are needed, grading, and possible redesign of the streets to direct flow. The full design could be upwards around the $200,000 range, in which I would be coming back to you guys to seek approval to proceed with the full design. After the full design, we'll come back with a scope of work, quantities, grade changes, and engineer's estimated cost, etc., then we go to bid. Just rough guess at this time, the full project for Martin, Prospector, and Sutro Springs could be upwards of $2 million. Item number two, so far this year, down in Mark Twain, we've jetted out 12 culverts, removed approximately 40 cubic yards of debris from the culverts, recut the south side ditch on Martin and Sutro Springs. We dug out the main drainage channel that goes from Sam Clemens to Sutro Springs at a length of 2,400 feet, about 4 feet wide and 4 feet deep, for about 1,000 cubic yards of material was removed. We've spent countless hours of cleaning up the mud and debris and sweeping down there, etc. Lowestown Road, we're starting that, pulling shoulders and mowing all the weeds, and then we'll move on to Cartwright. Down 6 Mile Canyon, we remedied some of the low shoulder drop-offs and added riprap in a lot of the drainage ditches to try to help the ditches hold up and not impact the road. And then it looks like in mid-September, working with the fire department, hopefully we'll do about a one-week closure on 6 Mile Canyon so we can shoulder and remove debris and take care of some much-needed tree work down there. We're still on target with starting our Electric Avenue rebuild in the middle of September, finally. Stericycle and NV Energy Gas is making good progress getting the gas project in the ground so we can proceed. And then I just wanted to give you guys a general update on Mark Twain over the last couple years. We've completed full tear-outs and reconstruction of Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry, and Edith Lanes. We've slurry-sealed just about every street down there except for Jumping Frog Circle, and that's next on the road CIP. We've cut ditches in just about every street down there except for the street sides that have the buried phone lines and mailboxes. We have installed 1,420 feet of 18-inch culvert pipe and 200 feet of 36-inch culvert pipe. We ran 18-inch culvert pipes on the south side, the full length of Martin Lane to try to help with the drainage. We ran 18-inch culvert pipes down the full length of LaFond across the intersection of all the way across the intersection of Wagon Wheel to the county line. We upsized culvert crossings on Sam Clemens by the park to accommodate more flow. We worked with Lyon County to upsize the culvert at the county line on Sutro Springs to accommodate more flow. We installed a new play structure at the Mark Twain Park in upwards of $39,000. We redesigned the landscaping at the Mark Twain Park. And then the county has been working on an area-wide flood study for a large-scale drainage project to be done in the future. So that's only the data I have right now. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Appreciate that thorough update, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, you have any questions or comments?
Only comments is I appreciate that update. We attended a meeting down there, and some of the residents in Mark Twain don't have a clear understanding of what has taken place. And so they're suspicious, if you will, is that they've been ignored. And I would like very much to see that reporting disseminated throughout the community down there so that they have a better understanding of how much effort and focus you have had in Mark Twain. And certainly, we know there's a lot more to go. We've got to cooperate with Lyon County. We have to interface with the rest of their community. It's a heady project, and I've heard numbers in excess of $10 million to truly upgrade with flood control reservoirs above on the mountain and major infrastructure upgrades. So to truly protect the community to the best of our ability with that study is going to take some time and some serious financial effort. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful to hear the level of focus that you all have given at down there. And it would be gratifying if you could spread some of that and maybe through staff figure out how we get a little bit more of the factual information on the street. There's a lot of misconceptions.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for that report.
Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Yeah, no, I'd just like to echo those sentiments, and maybe we find, I mean, certainly spreading through digital means is fairly straightforward, but maybe we find another way to give kind of an update on the ongoing flood control project, maybe a mailer of some kind that gives a mid-project update or something like that.
Wonderful. Again, thank you, Jason, for that update. We've all great suggestions, so look forward to that.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep, thank you. Operations and Projects Coordinator Mike Northern. Is he here today?
He's working on FEMA stuff.
Oh, gotcha. All right. Well, he's off the hook. How about our Business Development Director, Laura Mather?
Excuse me. Good morning, Laura Mather, for the record. I have some really good news and some kind of sort of good news. So I'll start with the really good news. When the Sheriff's Department announced that they were doing the Fill the Cop Car event to get donations for school supplies for the Story County School District, I reached out to some of my connections at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center and Nova Data Centers. They're a new company that's coming into the Industrial Center. They generously donated $5,000. To go towards that event. That will be on the next county commissioners meeting as an agenda for you to approve. Pending your approval, I'm really looking forward to going on a shopping spree because I would imagine $5,000 can probably fill a couple cop cars with school supplies. So I'm really looking forward to that. For our 2024 federal appropriations, two of our six projects that we submitted have made it to the next level. Our Gold Hill Collection System, which is $2.5 million, and the McCarran Sheriff's Substation for $450,000, made it through onto the bill. Now, that doesn't mean, as we've talked about in the past, that it's a for sure thing. Historically, though, once they make it into the bill, they typically stay in, will be approved at that amount. When the final bill is signed off by the president. So we will continue to keep you posted as that goes. So not what we were hoping for, but just under $3 million for 1 year, I think we're doing pretty darn good. So for this year's appropriations and then next year's, again, if it goes through, about $6 million. So, I'm sorry, $9 million. We've learned a lot through the two cycles that we have done these federal appropriations requests. And it's kind of a hurry up and wait thing. So Honey and I get a call or an email that says, okay, we want six of your most important projects by the end of day. And then it's like, boom, get going. We really thought about how to do this so that we have more control, for lack of a better word, on which of our projects are submitted and how they make it through that final process, because there's a lot of ifs and ands and maybes with that. So it depends on how much money the departments that we get the funds through have. So for example, the Department of Interior, they had $12 million for 2024. That's all projects within the United States. That's not a lot of money. One of our projects alone, we were asking for $7 million from them. So Story County was basically asking for all of their money with the three projects that we submitted with them. So Henny and I, we're learning as we go through these process, and we talked about how we can do this differently. So when we get that call, we're not scrambling to figure out what projects, how much the amounts are, you know, what the county can pay for versus what the grant amount will be. And I also want to put in a huge thank you to Jennifer McCain, because we come into her office and we say, okay, we're submitting these six projects. This is what we think we can get. How much can the county spend? And she's able to be very flexible, go through all this with us to figure out exactly what we should ask for. And if we do get those grants, can the county handle the match? So we really appreciate her working closely with us and her flexibility. So Honey actually came up with an idea that I think is going to work out very well. So when we get the call for the 2025 appropriations, we are going to pick our two, we will have it ready to go. We will pick our two most important, most critical projects that we have. Each of those two projects we're going to then break down into three segments. So we are typically asked to submit six projects. So what we're going to do is break down two projects into three each. So we have our six projects. That way, if we only get part of what we're asking for, we know that at least it'll be part of our two main projects. And so both the Porter Group and Senator Cortez Masto's office, who we work closely with these appropriations, thought that was a great way to sort of work on these appropriations as they come through. So looking forward to trying this for next year. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Laura. Commissioner Yeoman, anything for Laura?
I have no questions. Thank you for the report, Laura.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Good, thank you.
Thank you again for that detailed report. And keep trying to get us that money.
Thank you.
How about Grants Manager Honey Coughlin?
Good morning, Honey Coughlin, Grants Manager for the record. A couple of things. We want to talk about a few of the projects that weren't passed through to the final bill. One of them was the Virginia City Public Safety Complex. That project is estimated to be $10 million, and we were asking for $7 million in federal appropriations money. So I reached out to the USDA, and I have a meeting with them on Wednesday to discuss our options for funding. So there's a possibility that we can get a grant loan combo through their community facilities direct loan and grant program. So this is, again, not a secure thing, but they really feel like we have a good way to be able to work through this and maybe get this project funded. I won't know until Wednesday, though, but I also met with Sheriff Cullen and his staff, and we sort of have a game plan in place for potential funding in case the USDA falls through. So we have some phases designed for this project and just different potential funding avenues that we're going to keep looking for. So this is by far not a dead project. We're keeping it very much alive, and we're just going to go a different direction. With the lead siphon project, that's pretty much our top project for the county as a whole, and that's what we have submitted every year for these appropriations requests. So the estimated project cost is $11.8 million, and we again asked for $7 million for that project. And as Laura said, we're in discussion right now with congressional members and their staff, and Jason Worsbecky and I are actually meeting with Jason Cooper, who is the director of NDEP, next week. And Jason Cooper has taken this project to Washington himself. He has platformed it as the most important project for the state of Nevada to be undertaken. So we hope to maybe get some idea of how we can get this funded. And again, the senators and their staff are working on funding as well. The issue is with this project, with the how our water system is an enterprise fund, and then it comes down to our median household income. It comes down to the jobs we could create. So every avenue of funding that I have pursued over the last 3 years has fallen through because Story County is unique and doesn't meet specific criteria. But I just wanted to say we have a lot of people at high levels in the state and with our federal lobbyists, the Porter Group, that are really trying to get this this project underway. So again, not a dead project. We're just seeking new avenues. So the community grant project that we do annually is opening. And again, for this application and funding process, this is the Story County Community Project Grant. The county is divided into four areas, and each area can apply for up to $10,000. We encourage the communities that are listed in each area to work together when they are applying for this project funding. And the four areas are as follows. Area one is Lockwood, Mustang, Painted Rock in the Northeast. Area two is Lago Marcino in the Highlands. Area three is Gold Hill in Virginia City. And area four is Mark Twain. Each application requires a minimum of three people to work together who live within their designated areas. And multiple teams from each area may submit applications, and each funding request can either be for a single project that totals $10,000 or multiple smaller projects that, when added together, total $10,000. So this project grant application is due no later than 5 p.m. Friday, September 29th. And in order to get the grant application instructions, please reach out to me. You can call me at 847-3183 or email at hcoughlin, that's hcoughlin at storycounty.org. And I will help. We will be more than happy to help discuss any projects. We would like to see more involvement from some of the communities that have never applied. And we would be happy to discuss different ways to get some special projects funded. Also, for the Fairgrounds project, that is our appropriations request grant award for this year. The cultural review from Dow was submitted to me. It's the draft copy. And so they also turned in their preliminary architectural report and their environmental review. I have sent those off to the USDA for approval. Once the USDA approves it, then we can finalize it, and then the funds will be obligated. The only thing that we have to kind of wait for as well is we sent out the cultural review comments to the tribal leaders. They have a 30-day waiting period in order to get their comments back to us. And then also I'm waiting to hear back from the USDA because SHPO has to make their comments, and that is a 30-day, they have a 30-day period as well. So as soon as all of those things are finished, then that project, we can go out to RFQ and begin that project shortly. And then as far as the fire station goes, we're still working with purchasing the new property. And those discussions are underway, and then we're just waiting for final completion of the preliminary architecture report and environmental review for that project as well. And then I will have a senior center update in an agenda item a little bit later. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that report, honey. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you, honey. Very much.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
Honey, would you mind just repeating your phone number? It sounded like a prefix that I don't think we use up here.
Okay. It's a cell phone number. It's my county cell phone, 547-3183.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you again for that update. Appreciate it. All right, on to emergency management. Adam Wilson.
Good morning. Adam Wilson, emergency manager for the record. I have a couple quick updates. We had our Quad County Public Health meeting last week. They asked myself and Stacey York to be on the leadership team. So that's exciting for our county to be able to have some direction within that committee. Our EOP plan is finally done. It's with the department heads so they can double check their responsibilities and lines of succession, things like that. That led us down a rabbit hole of all the annexes and support documents that were also a mess. So those are now updated. Those are going out to the department heads today. So we're on track to have it in front of you for approval, hopefully next month. For our FEMA update, 4 of our 6 projects. I know we had more damages than that. Under FEMA, we were able to group several projects together just for clarity on their end. So 4 of those 6 are in the final stages of review. 3 of them are at the last stage of review. The last 2 are going to be in this week. That's Mike Northam's working on that for me right now, getting me those numbers to submit those last 2 projects. I would like to mention as a subnote on that, as we've been going through this with FEMA, our Public Works Department deserves a huge amount of praise. Every estimate that we get back from FEMA, which is part of their national averages on the standards for work, costs, everything, our Public Works Department blows them out of the water. They get done in half amount of time with half amount of people, way under budget. So we're actually probably going to see more money from FEMA because Public Works performed above and beyond.